The essay we're going to study tonight for Pele Yoetz, Bezrat Hashem, is called Havtacha, Havtacha. And you'll see a photocopy of it in the page I gave you. Yeah. It should say page 135. Maybe the number didn't come out. And Havtacha is the word that he uses, the Pele Yoetz, for Bitachon, which means trust in God. So let's read the first paragraph. He says, Havtacha hi mida brucha. He says that if you have this, if you're endowed with this attribute, that you rely on Hashem with total faith, then you'll be blessed. Laguf simcha v'lanefesh menucha. The blessing that you'll receive from this Havtacha, this mida, is simcha, is joy for the guf, and menucha for the nefesh. So a person who has total faith in Hashem is always constantly in a state of simcha. His body is on the move. He's active. He's never slowed down by all the barriers that life puts in front of him, because he has this tremendous energy force called Havtacha, and his nefesh, his soul, his psyche, is always in a state of calm, because he realizes that it's all bitachon. What is bitachon? He says, "Inyan havtacha eino sheyivtach b'Hashem sheyaselo kol tzorko kirtzono." He shouldn't fool himself and conclude that God is going to do everything as he wants. He with a small h. Shelo tuune elav ra, and nothing bad is going to happen. No evil will befall him. That's impossible. She'im ko yeh miftacho, he says, if he's going to believe in God that everything is going to be, you know, full of bowl of cherries, he says, lefa'amim tichazev tochalto, then quite frequently he's going to be upset and disappointed by what happens to him. And I'll prove it to you, says the Pele Yoetz. Ki kama tzaddikim, we'll find many righteous people who are pious and they dedicate themselves exclusively to mitzvos, and yet mu'unim, they're afflicted, they suffer, umidukim, and sometimes they're put down, bisurim, sometimes they suffer physical pain, kashim, difficult ones, unefiche nefiche kefan v'chahena ros. He says, I can go on and give you many, many different examples of evil that even befall the tzaddikim. So that for a person to say, well, nothing evil, nothing bad is going to befall me, that would be a grave mistake. That God should do everything that's good for me, in the sense that I feel he's just constantly bestowing and blessing me with great things, that would not be bitachon. But rather, the world and life is full of tzoros, but ikar avtacha, so what does avtacha therefore mean? Do you hear his question? He's grappling, he's struggling, because to expect or to define Havtacha as believing that everything that happens to me is going to be good, in the sense that, you know, I got money, I got health, I got wealth, like everything is good, that would be mistaken. That's misappropriated Havtacha, because we know that even the greatest tzaddikim will suffer sorrows. So what then is Havtacha? Sheyivtach b'Hashem, he should rely in the name of God. Dekol di'avdi, anything that happens to him, min hashamayim, it happens through divine providence, litov, and God is interested in his good. And even if it seems on the surface to be evil and painful and disappointing and sometimes even depressing, that's what it looks like, but kamishmaya galya, we have to believe, that's bitachon, that up in heaven it's absolutely clear, delitavle, it's for his benefit, viavdile, that's what God is doing for him. So in other words, we see things on a superficial level and we decide whether it's good for us or bad for us, and therefore when we suffer we assume it's bad for us. That's not bitachon. Bitachon means when we realize, when we acknowledge that everything that happens to us, even things that are painful, are really good for us. And that's called kol man di'avid rachmano litav of it, in the divine wisdom and in the scheme of things up in the heavens, it's all good. Ki Adam Yira Le'enayim Bi'ena Delo Shaper. Man has a tendency of seeing with his eyes in an imperfect way. Chazi, what he sees, V'yomer, and he declares L'ra. He thinks that something that's really good for him is evil. Velatov, and he thinks that something that might be good for him is ra. Sometimes he comes to the conclusion that it's evil. Why? Because he's suffering from it. But in truth, it's tov. Hashem yodea ma'u tov lo. You see, we don't know, human mortal beings who are finite are not capable of deciding, of knowing what's good and what's not good. Hashem knows that within the purpose of man, for Avodas Hashem, God knows what's good for him. So for man to be an excellent servant of God, sometimes man has to suffer adversity and suffering, l'tikun nefesh ruach l'neshama. And as a result of that suffering, he will experience a perfection of his soul and all the parts of his spiritual being. Lachain, and therefore, what is the ultimate goal? What should a person strive for bitachon? Yisrata b'chol haba'olav. He should try to be ritza means to want to affirm or to vote for or to be happy with anything that happens to him. V'yikabel es kol haba, anything that happens to him, b'simcha, he should receive it, accept it, b'simcha b'tuvlev, because he's sure, he's batuach, and that's what bitochen means. Batuach means he's certain. She'ein dover ra yorid min ha'shamayi rak tov, that anything that comes from the heavens is all for his good. V'lachein, and therefore, Yashlich al Hashem Yehovah, all of his peckles, all the suffering that he's carrying on his shoulders, he should in a sense thrust it to Hashem and say, Hashem, you carry this weight, you know what's good for me. V'elov, and towards God, Yehi Noseh Esnafsho, he should turn his soul and depend totally on Hashem. V'lo yigal arik, and not waste his time with vanities, lasos ritzonu kirtzon, to think that Hashem is going to fill his will, again his with a small h. V'lo yidchok es hashah, don't try to push the hour, you know, don't try to see, well, how can I change bad to good or good to bad. In some situations you have to accept the situation as is. Lo yeitored lachshov rabos machshavos. He shouldn't waste his time with all sorts of plans and schemes, how to fix up and improve what Hashem wants him, the situation Hashem wants him to be. Again, I don't think that the Pelyoitz is rejecting the possibility of hishtadlus. A person always has to try his best to improve his lot. That's all part of his avodas Hashem. But sometimes a person pushes it so far beyond. You know, like, I'll give you an example. I had a Talmud who in his first year of law school, he was putting in 80 hours a week. I asked him why. He says because he wanted to make the dean's list. You know, it's true that it's great to make the dean's list, but within reason. You know, there is something else in life besides making the dean's list. If you can imagine 80 hours a week, you know, such a person will have no time for spiritual endeavors. And Yamin Bemuna Shlemi should have a full, absolute belief, Shakol Bidei Shamayim, everything is in the hands of Hashem. V'choshe Yachvot Zolikim Yasel Tovaso, and he repeats himself again and says that whatever's happening to him, it's all part of the Chefetz, it's all part of the desire of Hashem, and it's L'Tovaso, for his good. V'ein Miyodo Matzil, V'ein Matzo L'Hashem Lo Shia Ben Ra L'Ma'at. He says that he can't really fight against the will of God. The will of God is the ultimate good. Accept it, b'simcha u'b'menucha. So we go back to the original introductory phrase here, that this great midah of bitachon is a blessing for man to guarantee him in life simcha, and also for his nefesh, his psyche, menucha. And this is going to give him koach. This is going to give him the energy to go forward in life and face life with a positive attitude. Now, what I want to do tonight, in the limited time that we have, is to study some sources on the Midah of Bitachon. Many of these sources have been anthologized, have been gathered together in a sefer called Oel Moshe. The Oel Moshe is a Musar sefer, and it is contemporary, but it's also very analytic, in the sense that the Oel Moshe will sometimes quote different sources in Musar and show you that they don't always overlap, they don't always agree. Sometimes they end up in a certain divergence, or shall we say, a debate and a conflict of different, what we call shitot, different views. He's alive today. I can't tell you exactly where he is on the face of the earth. Oh, he's somewhere here. He's a contemporary.
And his name is?
His name is Reb Moshe. I don't know his last name, but his name is Reb Moshe. And he writes Musar on the Parsha. Okay. Now, in one of his presentations, this happens to be for Parshas Chayisora, he sees in Eliezer Eved Avram the absolute paradigm of the Midah of Bitachon. Eliezer Eved Avram turns to Hashem, and he has complete reliance on Hashem that he, Eliezer, will be able to complete his task, his agency, and find a wedding partner for Yitzchak Avinu. And we're going to soon see how the Oel Moshe develops an entire theory based on Eliezer, and how Eliezer was relying on Avram Avinu, his master, because he knew that Avram Avinu was praying on behalf of the success of this mission, and we'll see that in just a minute. But first, the Oel Moshe sends us to two sources which are separated by 9 centuries. One is Rabbeinu Yonah, who lived about 900 years ago, and 9 and change, in the city of Gerona, which is in Spain. He was one of the great Spaniards. He was a younger contemporary of the Rambam. He barely overlapped with the Rambam, but he's very famous for his opposition to certain of the Rambam's positions. And amongst his many, many different works, Rabbeinu Yonah authored a book on Tshuva, which is called Shari Tshuva. It is perhaps amongst the Rishonim, the magnum opus, you know, the greatest work on Tshuva. And in the Shar Sheni, which is quoted in the Oel Moshe, Rabbeinu Yonah addresses the issue of Bitachon. And he defines Bitachon in a very unique way. The Oel Moshe then quotes the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Hutner, who lived 9 centuries after Rabbeinu Yonah. And Rav Hutner builds on Rabbeinu Yonah. So that what you're going to see is that although 9 centuries passed between Rabbeinu Yonah and Rav Hutner, who's the Rosh Yeshiva in Brooklyn, in a yeshiva called Chaim Berlin, but nevertheless, the Pachad Yitzchak builds and emphasizes this Rabbeinu Yonah. And perhaps again, if it's not a chutzpah on my part to say so, this short paragraph from Rabbeinu Yonah could have gone unheeded. It might have gotten lost and ignored in the history of literature, if not for the Pachad Yitzchak. It was the Pachad Yitzchak who wrote extensively about Bitachon that brought this Rabbeinu Yonah to light. So let's see the words of Rabbeinu Yonah. Yesh al haboteach b'ashem lohochil b'ma'of tzukaso. What he means is the following. That a person who has the Midah Bitachon, he's got to, so to speak, climb up to a vantage point where he can see from high a great horizon. Do you follow? He can see more than what you can see down here. And what is he talking about, Rabbeinu Yonah? He's talking about darkness, or what we might call bleak despair. And he says that if you look from close up, if you don't have what we might call a bird's eye view, b'ma'of tzukaso, then from close up things look really sad and really dark. And he says, ki yeh hachoshech sibas ha'orah. But if he climbs up to a higher perspective, to a higher vantage point, he will begin to comprehend and appreciate that the choshech comes before the light. And in the way God created nature, it's going to be vayera vayvoker, that from night is going to come light. From darkness at night, darkness, so to speak, gives birth to light. And Rabbi Yonah is using these terms of darkness and light as homilies to indicate what bitachon is all about. And what bitachon means is yehei choshech sibas ha'ora. Now watch that word sibas. In Rabbi Yonah's simile, the choshech itself is causing the light. Do you understand if choshech is now a symbolism for difficulty, for adversity, for all the difficulties that a person faces in life, it becomes the generator, it becomes the cause that is responsible for light. And to prove his point, Rabbi Yonah invokes a pasuk at the end of Tanakh. It says, "Al tismachi oivaiti li, ki nafalti kamti, ki eshev bachoshech, Hashem or li." The Navi is saying something that at the face of it makes no sense. The beginning of the pasuk makes a lot of sense. He prays to Hashem that his enemies should not be happy because they succeeded in bringing him down. Maybe that is a message for contemporary politics here in Israel. You know, the enemies are very happy to see that their adversary goes down. So the Navi here prays to Hashem that that situation shouldn't come to pass. But that's not the part of the pasuk that we want to focus our attention on. Ki nafalti kamti. Even if sometimes I trip, I fall, I will stand up. But here's the punchline. Because I sit in darkness, Hashem will be my light. And the way Rabbi Yonah understands this is that the darkness projects the light. The projection of darkness is light. It's not that light are moments unto themselves. The light is a result of and caused by the choshech. And he quotes a medrash. This is Rabbi Yonah quoting a medrash on this pasuk. Ki nafalti kamti, il male nafalti lo kamti. In other words, what gives me the energy to stand, to succeed? It's the fact that I fell. Had I not fallen, I wouldn't be able to stand up. So my standing is a result of the fact that I fell. Il male yashavti b'choshech, if not for the fact that I sat in darkness, lo haya or li, I wouldn't have the light. So what generates the light? It's the darkness itself. Now again, you could read this paragraph and pass over it without realizing that Rabbi Yonah is completely, radically changing our understanding of bitachon. And that's what the Pachad Yitzchak Rav Huda, as quoted in the Old Moshe, brings to light. Says the Pachad Yitzchak that when he read these words of Rabbi Yonah, and again he quotes Rabbi Yonah, he responded, he declared that a person who believes that everything will be good, that's not the Midah Bitachon. That's only the beginning of Bitachon, but that's not the perfect ideal Bitachon. Just to say everything will be fine. You know, very often when somebody comes to console someone, especially when he visits the ill, and he sees a person suffering, he says to him, "Don't worry, everything will be fine." Have you ever heard that? That sounds like a great Midah Bitachon. Says Rav Hutna, no, let's read Rabbi Yonah. That's not enough to qualify as the Midah Bitachon. If he doesn't believe ki achoshech yasibas haora, which is the language of Rabbi Yonah, ein ze bitachon. Bitachon doesn't mean that everything is going to be good. Oh, no, no, no. Bitachon means that when I suffer because of the choshech or the darkness, I have to understand that the choshech itself is going to be responsible for, is going to generate the aura. So mashal if nerega yenira l'dovra chi garua, says Rav Hutna, that which a moment ago would appear to be the worst situation possible, you know, I lost my job, right? Also adovra yasibul l'dvar machi tov, and because I lost my job, it's going to push me forward to get even a better job, if you follow me. I'm just using that mashal. Zuhi midas habitochon al pi Rabbeinu Yonah. So what is midas habitochon? It's the realization to acknowledge and appreciate that that which is darkness is responsible for the light at the end of the tunnel. That is an amazing definition of bitachon. And again, as I said, we might not have noticed it in Rabbeinu or emphasized. We could have ignored it. And that's what Rav Hutna is emphasizing here, that a person has to realize that the R that he's experiencing now is a result of the moment previous when he thought was the worst calamity in his life.
Can we say that if we didn't have dark, the light would not appear?
That's what he's saying. If not for the darkness, we'd never experience the light. The only way within the structure of the divine providence that he was able to get to that light, he was able to achieve what Rav Hutna calls the highest point in his life, l'dvar machi tovim, is only because he went through the chi garua. If not for the chi garua, he would never. It's a projectile. Do you follow? There's something that projects him to the chi tov. What projects him to the chi tov? What is the diving board, you know, from which he can jump off? That's going to be the davar achi garua. The davar achi garua is in fact. So we're not just saying that bitachon means, oh, I have to be calm, I have to rely on Hashem, al tzvetzayim good, everything's going to be fine. No. There's a much more profound appreciation of what bitachon is all about, a much more profound definition of achieving the midah bitachon. And that is to realize that it's only because of the darkness that there is light. It's only because the davar achi garua that I achieve the davar achi tov.
Hey,
look,
you've ducked it and you go all the way down and then you come up and
delete. Right, like we have in Masechta Makkos. Sometimes the Gemara says you want to cut something with force, you have to go down in order to come up. It's called a Yerida Litzarech Aliyah. The Yerida gives you the energy and projects you with a forward motion to finally achieve the Dvarim Achi Tovim. It's a pretty amazing concept. I mean, when you think about it, you know, I'm not claiming here that this is easy. You know, that you can, you know, just simply snap your fingers and say, "Well, you are on the level of bitachon as it's defined by Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva." That's not a matter of just snapping your finger. I mean, this is a lifelong challenge, and even maybe even beyond life. It's just beyond life itself.
How do you prevent yourself from evoking the Shoah? I know we're not supposed to ask questions, and no one has an answer, etc. But when you talk about bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a very...
Talking about the Holocaust?
Yeah, it's very, very hard to...
Yeah, very hard. I mean, you could say that the Shoah is like Yechezkel's dried bones. What do I mean? That Yechezkel has a nevuah, which he asks Hashem, what's going to be with these dried bones? Mm-hmm. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Yechezkel 24 centuries ago is that these bones will live again. That's my hashkafa on the Shoah. I'm not saying that you have to accept it. But somehow, God saw fit in His eyes that for the sake of the good of the Jewish nation, there would have to be a termination period, and then there's going to be a rebirth. And that rebirth is when the dried bones come to life again. What's his name? The former chief rabbi of England, Rabbi Sacks. Yeah, he's very famous for saying that one of the most powerful experiences that he had was when he came to Israel on a day of celebration. He saw children by the droves that were waving Israeli flags, And for one moment, he thought of the children that were destroyed in the Holocaust. You know, we lost 1.5 million children in the Holocaust. Whatever the number is, it's beyond comprehension. And he says that he believes that what he was looking at when he saw the children waving the flags was the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Yechezkel, that the dried bones of the children were coming back to life again.
Yeah, in Zechariah, on Tisha B'Av, you always read Zechariah, and Rabbi Akiva, the wolves.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't know if we read Zechariah, but in the piyut of Hakalir, he mentions I think it's even the first piyut, in the first kina, he mentions Zechariah. Yeah, there is a tremendous belief of Rabbi Akiva. You know, Rabbi Akiva is the paradigm of Koma Di'ovid Rachmana L'Tavov, you know, to see optimism even in the saddest moment. You know, the fox is running out ahead of the Kodesh Kodoshim, but he says, no, I'm going to laugh at that, because now I know that the ultimate prophecy of Zechariah is going to be fulfilled. Od Yeshvu Zekedem Uzkenos Pechutzos Yushalayim. Now that I've seen the prophecy of Uriah, that we see the destruction of the temple. So from the perspective of Ben Yonah, Baal Bitoch would say that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is going to project us towards the ultimate Geula in the final redemption at the end of days. But I think what's more challenging in Rabbeinu Yonah's frame of reference is on a yachid, on a personal level, as an individual, that if I can adopt this attitude in my own life, that when things are going wrong, and you know, people are down on me and criticizing me, and you know, and it's not the same as it once was. You know, the Gemara says that the greatest mitzvah of tzedakah is what's called sus lirkovalov. What does it mean? A person was wealthy. He drove a sus. You know, back in the day, he had a horse. Even today, a horse is quite expensive. And he went down. You know, he lost all his possessions. The greatest mitzvah of tzedakah is when you can return that horse to him. You know, buy a horse for him so he can get back to where he once was. But imagine if a person lost his horse and he would believe that that's going to project him to good. You know, that would be the bitachon of Rabbi Akiva. Of Rabbi Akiva, who, you know, is the paradigm of seeing good in what looks like evil. You know, the candle goes out and the chamor dies and the tarnagolas is gone, and yet that's what saves his life. You know, all the things which he thought meant kaput. So getting back to the old Moshe, after quoting Rav Hutna as an introduction to Rabbeinu Yonah's definition of Midas HaBitachon, he continues by presenting four different definitions of bitachon. He starts with the Archaim HaKadosh, and this is a commentary on the parasha of Eliezer. Vayomer, Eliezer turns to God and he says, Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, the God of my master Abraham, Hakri no lefanai ayom. I want to ask you, God, to intervene today for my benefit. Oh, David, if you're going in that direction anyway, could I trouble you for some hot water?
Of course.
Thanks, I'm just so dry.
I've asked before.
That's okay.
You want hot, not regular.
Hot water, just hot water. Thank you so much. V'yasei chesed im Adoni Avraham. And this is where Eliezer turns to Hashem. And he asks Hashem to organize the sequence of events in such a way that he'll find the right young lady for his master, for Yitzchak. Sil Archaim writes the following: Batuach haya Eliezer be'adono. Eliezer was absolutely assured, relying totally on his master Avram. That's why when he turns to God, he says, Elokei Adoni Avram. Shetfiloso mikubeles, meaning even if Eliezer realized that he was asking for a lot from God, he was really asking for a miracle, for divine intervention. And how could he, Eliezer, rely on the fact that Hashem would respond to his prayers? The answer is, his midah bitachon, Eliezer, Haisal Eliezer midas habitach b'Hashem shachin yitein lo mashis palel Adono Avram Avinu. Thank you. That God would grant this request not because of Eliezer's merits, but because of the power of Avram's tefillah.
In his
schus. In the schus and the power of Avram's tefillah. Now, because the old Moshe quotes Rav Hutna, I figured, you know what? Maybe I'll jump into the arena myself and impress you with my knowledge of Rav Hutna. So I have in front of me the Pachat Yitzchak on Shabbos. Now the Pachat Yitzchak on Shabbos is immensely complicated. I'm pretty familiar with the writings of the Pachat Yitzchak. This one, anyone who can study this one, it makes all the others look easy. And each essay is more profound than the one before. In the second essay, and I'm not going to claim I understand the essay, it's very, very difficult, very profound, very obscure. But I will pull out just a few lines from this essay. Because here too, the Pachat Yitzchak touches on what we call Hashgachat Hashem, on divine providence. He says the following, Yeshnei Sugei Hanhaga. There are two ways in which God governs the world. Two different, very radically different patterns. One is Hanhaga Shel Tzadik V'Tovlo V'Rosh V'Ralo. So God is meting out punishment to the evildoers. He's bestowing reward to the good people, the pious people. And then there's another Hanhaga of Tzadik V'Ralo V'Rosh V'Tovlo. So the Pachat Yitzchak claims that if you want to look for one chapter in Tanakh, the theme of which is this second Hanhaga, and to try to appreciate what does it mean, Tzadik V'Ralo V'Rosh V'Tovlo, the chapter is Mizmar Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, the one that we recite on Friday night, and we repeat it on Shabbos day. First, he points out, which is fascinating, that this is the only chapter in all of Sefer Tehillim that has an introduction, and nothing in the body of the psalm itself has any relationship to the introduction. The introduction is Mizmar Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. And there's an entire chapter that follows, but there's not one word in that chapter about Shabbos.
I noticed that myself.
That itself is a tzarchi and gadol. He says, "Ein beguf haparsha shum zecher l'nosei shel haposuk harishon shel haparsha," meaning the subject of Shabbos. And based on this, he concludes that if we define what the kapitel is telling us, then we will know how to observe Shabbos. And what is David addressing in this parasha? He says, Tochen HaParasha, the subject of this parasha, the theme or the motif of this parasha, is Hanhagas Rosh HaVitovlo. It's all about the fact that we look at the evildoers, and to our dismay, what we see is they're living on high, they're experiencing everything that's great. Bifrach Rishoyim Kmo Esev, Vayatzitzu Kol Polei Oven. They are flourishing, these Rishoyim, like the grass that grows and grows and grows. These Polei Oven, these initiators of evil, are Vayatzitzu, they are flowering. This is the beginning of the perek, as far as the theme is concerned. And then Hashem, through David HaMelech, addresses this Hanhaga, this very strange phenomenon of Rosh HaVitovlo, of Bifrach Rishoyim Kmo Esev. And what does the kapitel say? The kapitel says, "Lahagid v'boker chazdech v'amunoscha v'alelos." The kapitel goes on to say that what happens is here is that the ultimate purpose of Bifrach Rishon Kamo Esev is the destruction of the evildoers. And Ish Bar Le'yoduk Silo Yomenesos, unfortunately the Bar, the person who's not refined spiritually, he rejects this and he's unwilling to accept that the destruction is coming around the bend. That although the Rishayim are living the good life, and that's called Bifrach Rishayim Kmo Esev, nevertheless, ultimately, what's going on here, I don't have the... it's the next three words in the pasuk. Lihisham dom adayat. Do you remember that? I'll read it again. It says Bifrach Rishonko Esev Aitzitzko Pleyom Lihisham dom adayat. This is all a divine plan that's meant to project these evildoers to Lihisham dom, to be totally destroyed, the adayat. He says, quote, this is the Pakad Yitzchak, Shalvas HaRishoyim, the peace and quiet that the Rishoyim experience, uprichosim, and their flourishing, Eina Ela, it's only a stage, Lishamdom Adead. And he goes on to say that until we learn the lesson of this kapitel, we don't know what Shabbos is all about. And the rest of this long essay is to define what Shabbos is about. And Shomer V'Zocher B'Divur Echad, and he talks about the two elements of Shabbos and how from the understanding that even the evil is good, we can come to an appreciation of Shabbos, but that would require studying here. So again, I see in the Pakad Yitzchak a certain pattern in which we look at things from up front and we define them as either good or evil. So in the case of a person who thinks that he's done good in life and yet he's suffering, he sees that as choshech. And Bitochon says that choshech is all to project him sibas ha'ora. And on the flip side, we look at the good that befalls the evildoers and we see that as total evil. How could they enjoy, you know, what they enjoy? And the answer is, it's Lashmidom Adead. And it's part of a greater divine plan. Okay, next, let's get back to the Oel Moshe. He starts with the Chovas HaLevavos. In Shara Bitochon, which means an entire gate, an entire section that's dedicated by the Chovas HaLevavos Reb Chai to the study of the Midah Bitochon, he writes that what is the definition of bitachon? Shelo ye'ara lo shum pega ra. That nothing bad will happen to him. Rak tov v'chesed yiyah menas chelko. V'lamrot shi'tachen sha'adam yachshov she'ira lo ason o tzara. Even though he says, look what happened to me. Nebuchadnezzar, I fell, I broke a limb, chas v'sholem, or some other tzara that happened to me. Ein zed dover ra. Why? Because kol man diovid rachmano l'tav ovid. This, I believe, is the precursor of the Pelioites. What we read in the Pelioites, again, Pelioites is 2 centuries ago, Rabbeinu Bechai is 8 centuries ago, you know, this was foreshadowed by Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay? So now, what we have to understand is that if God is meting out punishment in this world, it's for the benefit of our next world, that our sins will achieve atonement, kapar for our sins, through this onesh. And if you take a look at the footnote here, number 19, which is the old Moshe, when he sort of embellishes the Rishonim, in this case the Chovas HaLevavos, he writes, Li'olam ein li'odom lodun es ha-mikra ha-prati, asher lufi anira ho'isa l'ro ha-gdol ha-avuro, ach li'olam ein lodun kein, ki b'cheshman ha-kloli, instead of looking at the event and the catastrophe in its own independent light, to see it as part of a broader picture, nira, he will see that kol prat bi'or acher, he could begin to see the details in a different light, Unfortunately, we only see myopically, you know, what's in front of our eyes. We don't see the general picture, the greater picture. That's why Rabbeinu Yonah has to climb up to the vantage point on top. And he quotes the Vilna Gaon, who says that Lamacha Tivke Me'asher Hayom Haschok Lamacha Haschok Me'asher Hayom Tivke. In other words, we shift from crying to happiness because our immediate emotional response is based on what we see in front of our eyes. And here he quotes from Chaim Shmulevitz, who says that Asonu Shel Adam, what brings that man, is Shedores HaMikra Prati. He judges the individual situation or incident. Be'od She'ein Mikra Ela Chulya Ktana. It's only one little piece in a broader puzzle. It's like a rung on a ladder. You know, you look at one rung, it doesn't mean much to you. But if you see the whole ladder of Mareches Klolis, of the whole structure, of Achejman Ol Lishtanos Min HaKotze LaKotze. So you take an individual action or incident and you put it in a broader context, that gives it a whole different spin, a whole different interpretation. Now, in footnote number 20, he quotes Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, but I would rather if we first see Rabbi Yisrael Salanta on number 7, and then maybe we'll, if we have time, we'll come back to footnote number 20. So what happens now? We go to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish authored a book called Emunah U'Bitachon, and he defines Bitachon. First, he rejects another possibility. He says, "Ein pirusho, don't think that Bitachon means shelabetach yimlat minatzara shelafanov v'chol mashiyikra lo yeh rak tov." It doesn't necessarily mean that everything that happens to him is good, which is perhaps, you know, a reflection of the language of Rabbeinu Bachaye in Chovos HaLevavos, but rather Lokenu Ki Tochen. It could be that there's evil. She Nigzera Olav Chas V'Sholom Gzera Ra Kohenish Al Masav Haroim. So really, what's happening to him is taka evil. It's a bad thing, and it's part of a divine decree because God gives out bad things too. El Shabotei Hashem Yodea Sheshum Davaralo Yikolo Ayidei Godel HaIver or Ayidei Mikra. Now, we shouldn't think that there's something called Goral. Goral means a destiny. Iver, blind. You know, some sort of blind destiny, or what we call Mikra. Ain Mikra. There's no such thing as Mikra. Hakol Mishamayim. So what's going to happen to him? It all depends upon what Hashem determines up in Shemayim. Let's say on Rosh Hashanah, God signs and seals the book of what's going to happen in the year to come. This is, so for a person to say, well, you know what, it just happened. It was happenstance. It was an accident. Those words, "it's an accident," are words that undermine, they're antithetical to the Midah Bitachon. So again, right now, I would say that Halacha L'Maisa, both Rabbeinu Bachai and the Chazon Ish are basically on the same page. They offer slightly different, let's say, twists or perspectives on what exactly Bitachon is. According to the emphasis here of the Chovos HaLevavos, Bitachon means when I realize that something evil has befallen me, it's an ason or a tzara, then I should understand that there's a divine plan here and God is doing this for my benefit. That's called Kol Mandi Ovid Rachmona L'Tavov. The Chazon Ish, on the other hand, is putting it on a different level. The Bitachon is really like an iser aseh, meaning it's a negation of what is antithetical to bitachon, and that is when a person says that things that happened to him accidentally, you know, this was a certain happenstance, it was a coincidence, that undermines bitachon. Bitachon means ein mikra. There's no such thing as mikra. Everything is min hashamayim.
So, Chaim Levin is a perfect example. How many people went to a bris that morning, they were late, they missed the bus, it's raining, they weren't in the building then.
9/11 you told them.
9/11. A lot of examples came out.
Right. But do you see the difference in emphasis here? You know, the Rabbeinu Bachai, the Chovas HaLevavos, is emphasizing the fact that even evil is for my benefit. The Chazon Ish is emphasizing the fact that we shouldn't look at life and anything that happens to us as outside of a divine providence control, as something that's mikra, that is goral ha'iver. And in the footnote here, he quotes extensively from the work Emunah Bitachon, and he says that in the words of the Chazon Ish, Tos, he says, it's a basic, a common error of many, and they think that Bitachon, some Bitachon Meshamesh Lemila, Mecholol of the Ikris, Befia Chasidim, Nistova Musak Chovas Lahami, Bechol Mikrish, Apogish Adam, Vemidosol, Across Asi, Beli Mukra. Okay, I don't know, we'll have to leave that for another time. Let's now take a look at the Maral Prague, and this you'll see on the top of the left column. What is Midas HaBitochon? And this is an unbelievable level of Bitochon, a whole new definition that goes way beyond my, you know, this is like describing color to a blind man. I don't know what he's talking about, but listen to this level of Bitochon. He says, what bitachon means is that guarantee that as a result of bitachon, everything will turn out for the good and God will protect him from all evil. If a person has the true, genuine mida bitachon with the depths of his heart, he will always succeed in avoiding every machla, every disease, every pega, every catastrophe. And he quotes a Zohar that says, as far as the Boteach Hashem be'emes, ein kol b'nei ha'olam yecholim lahazik lo. This is what, in my childhood, as Katayani Maske, we used to watch a series on television called Superman. Did anybody remember that?
Of course.
So what can you do to Superman? And even if you throw, you know, all the bombs in the world, like they all, I think, would deflect off his thing. He was Superman. That's a Western culture idea of Superman. And What the Maral is saying is that you and I can become Superman. How do we become Superman? Nothing bad can befall us. By believing in Hashem with an absolute commitment that God is the controller of the universe. And once I believe that, I focus on that, and that's going to protect me. Who else accepted this very radical, extreme position on Bitochon, the power of Bitochon? It was Reb Chaim Volozhin, who in Nefesh HaChaim writes that there's a school of Nifla'a, there's a tremendous secret here, a magical power, Lahasir Ulavatamil of Kol Dinim Viritzona Sacherim Velo Yuchlu Lishlot Bo, none of his adversaries will be able to control him, no din which paskins against him that he should suffer will be able to bring about evil, nothing will make an impact on him. How? He's koveh belibo. He thinks in his mind, in his heart, Hashem hu Elokim. God is God. Ein od milvado. He declares in his mind, no one has to hear him, that there's no other power in the universe, nothing in the higher worlds, that everything is God. That's the absolute achdus of ein od milvado. Once he gets to that level, where he believes for that moment in time, Einod Milvada, there's nothing else in the universe. Umevatel Belibo Bitel Gomor, he completely nullifies anything else in the world. There's no other force in the world. There's just one force in the world, and that's the will of God. Once he's Dovek, if he clings, Umeshavin is totally committed, Bimachshavto in his thoughts to this concept that there's only one master of the entire universe, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mevatel all other kochos from him, and nothing could cause him any evil. He becomes Superman. Why? Because he rejects any other power in the universe. And as a result, there won't be any other power than yours. There'll only be the power of God. Now again, in order to reach this level, you know, the precondition, if you want to sign up for the course of the Maral and Reb Chaim Volozhin, you have to be mevatel from yourself all other ritzonos in the world. No other forces in the world exist. And then they won't exist. And finally, we get to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And he says the following. Avol Moran Hagon Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Zatzal Savur Shebal Habitachon Yachol Lechakos Li'od Shemasha Ha'od Voteach Yiyah Kein Yiyah. Now honestly, I'm not 100% sure I understand what Rabbi Yisrael means here. You know, Rabbi Yisrael, I don't know if you know the history, was a very almost a poetic writer. His language is
the father of the Muslim movement.
But have you ever read his writings? It's murder, I'm telling you. I have a Musa class here once a week, and we try to plow through some of his writings. He makes Freud look easy. He probably was the first psychologist in history, way before Freud. In any event, just to try to tackle this language, he says that a Baal Bitachon is someone who waits, or shall we say anticipates, for something great to happen, and as a result of that Bitachon, that it's going to happen, it will happen. It's a little bit similar to the Maral and Rav Chaim Volozhin, but maybe not that extreme. Rabbi Yisrael is not going to say that at that moment that he contemplates and he's dovek belibo betara, you know, to the concept of eino bilvado, nothing can touch him. I don't know if we'll go that far, but he definitely says that if he has to be talking that something's going to occur, it will occur. And there's a famous story where one of his talmidim came forward and he purchased a lottery ticket or something, and he had great bitachon that he was going to win to support his family, and he didn't win the lottery ticket. So at the end of a long story, Rabbi Yisrael said to him, obviously he didn't have the total bitachon, right? If he had, because what happened is Rabbi Yisrael offered to buy his lottery ticket off him. So he agreed to sell it at half price. He says, why would you sell it at half price if you have the absolute bitachon that you're going to win the lottery? The Efshal Lishal Bishlem Yehudi Tzadik V'yorichet Hamedagdei Pekalik Echamur V'nizar Kol Yom Mishemet Shalat V'erafim Kal B'yoser Lo Yesh Nafsharut Lutoch B'Hashem L'Hamik Hashem Yisparach Yochus V'yirachim Olo B'yes Tzoroso B'schus Mitzvoso V'maisim Atovim. Yeah, you can rely on Hashem, who will have compassion on you and protect you from evil if you have the schus of all your mitzvahs and maisim tovim. But what about the average run-of-the-mill fellow? Could he really have bitachon? He knows that he's fallen on many occasions spiritually. He's sinned. He's not so careful about his mitzvahs. Is he completely excluded from this midah bitachon? The way that that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would have it, that he believes that it's definitely going to be good and everything Hashem will have will certainly bring about rachmei shamayim, bring about what he wants. How does he know such a thing? And the answer is no. Every Jew, no matter what he, where he is in the spiritual, strata, even if he's not a tzaddik, he can break out of his tzaros if he reaches the true level of bitachon, the absolute bitachon. Why? Because bitachon is not dependent upon his behavior, his actions, his mitzvos, or chas v'shalom, the opposite. And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim now to prove that even a rasha, if he has absolute bitachon, he will benefit by it, and Hashem will have compassion and protect him. Rabbi machovim l'rasha, v'aboteach Hashem, chesed yisov v'venu. We're talking about a rasha, and we're saying that the chesed of Hashem, the divine compassion, will protect him. Afilu rasha, the Alkut Shimon, he says, even if he's a Rosh, Boteach Hashem, he believes, he relies on God. Chesed Yisov Avena. that even the Rosh who's mentioned in the beginning of this pasuk will achieve a chesed yisovimenu, a protection based on his bitacha. It's really interesting because there are all sorts of anecdotes about ganovim who say to one to the other, "Don't worry, God will take care of us," as they're implanting their gneva. Habotef Hashem chesed yisovimenu. And he quotes Rabbi Yisrael, the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Zundel, in one of his letters to Rabbi Yisrael's son, the Rabbi Aryeh. He says, "Hakol tashluch yahavchal Hashem, v'al tikmotz v'al tidol klal." Don't have any fears, just rely on Hashem. And that's the school of bitachon. Bitachon has an inherent power in it. It's not a matter of merits and a matter of God intervening because you racked up so many mitzvahs and so forth. Like Hashem Baruch Hu, Oseh Ritzonu Shel Adam Avoteh Po B'Lev Shalom. God fulfills the will of a man when the man has a complete reliance on Hashem. U'Mesapik Lo Kol Tzarkov, he'll provide him with all his needs. B'Chol Makom B'Chol Eis, any place and any time, even if he's not a tzaddik. And this is what Rabbi Yisrael quotes to his son, Havoteh Hashem Chesed Yisovimenu, and the first part of the pasuk is Rasha. And therefore, I know for sure, and I'm guaranteed, that Kol Mishalosh Sha'odim Yosim Bitchonu Hashem Shiasigo. So if a man needs something, and he puts all his trust in God, that God will provide it, Tagil Yado. He will in fact receive it if he has total, true, absolute, genuine bitachon. The imanu rom shetikvos seyam shel bnei yom misachvos. And if we see that all the hopes of men are dashed and they're not fulfilled, the answer is you have to conclude that ein zel vishum she'eino bitach kosh baruch molet, that they don't have complete bitach. So this, my friends, was my attempt to fit into 1 hour all of the Mida Bitach, and obviously there's a lot more here that has to be said.
Rabbi Kalover, who just died at the age of 96, his whole life was dedicated to, he just died.
Sure.
Menachem Tau, 96, was in Auschwitz and everything else.
Right.
He dedicated.
They pulled his beard out the Nazis. But in any event, what I would like you to do, again, this is my final request here, is to go over this again, because there's so many different points here and perspectives and chidushim on the Midah Bitach.
When you described it near the end, can we say that Nachum Aminichad wanted to be the officer first? I think that's not exactly. But his level of Bitachim was so great that he essentially caused the officer to split. In other words, his...
It sounds like he was the cause. It does seem like he made it happen. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yisoh, and he was the one who jumped in.
Yeah.
And he had absolute faith in God that God would split the water and save the Jewish people. Now, I teach Chumash for the next hour. I can't impose upon you, but if you're available,